Hey everyone, welcome to a special edition of Nowhere to Run. This is an interview with Keith Thompson, or Keith Truth. You can go to his YouTube site, which is youtube.com/KeithTruth, or you can go to keithtruth.blogspot.com. Keith is a fellow researcher and filmmaker who has recently completed a video called The New Age Infiltration of the Truth Movement, 2009 Final Cut. I think that we all owe Keith a huge debt of gratitude for this video. He has done some extremely good grassroots research to really show the details about how the New Age has indeed infiltrated by design the truth movement, and more than the truth movement, but the entire world as part of the externalization of the hierarchy. I know we talk about a lot of these things, but Keith has gone the extra mile and done the research and provided the documentation, and I can't be any more emphatic that I really hope that you get a chance to download this video, because I think it's something that's going to stand the test of time. Also, I'll put a link in the show notes to a place where you can download it, and I'll also provide the embedded video for it as well. So here is Keith Truth talking about his new video, and we go into a lot of very interesting subjects, so stay tuned.
I just kind of wanted to explain the whole purpose of making the film, because a lot of people who you know, they watch the first 10 minutes and they're kind of confused as to what's going on. Like, a lot of people will watch a few minutes and say, you know, just because people believe different than you, that doesn't mean they're bad. And that's not at all what I'm saying. You know, I don't care about your average New Ager. That's not at all what this is about. This is exposing the fact that the elite factions at the top of the pyramid are inducting the population into these beliefs, and they want the populace to accept these esoteric views. That's the main point. I wanted to expose the New Age esoteric side. Right.
Okay.
This phone is very, it cuts out and stuff. So
okay, cool. Well, we'll work around it. The thing is that the video, whether the first 10 minutes or whatever, when you get into the research here, it is really groundbreaking research. It's what I look at it like, it's really original. The grunt work has been done. You know, I see a lot of these kind of things brought up about Theosophy, or, you know, its connection to the Lucius Trust and their connection to the United Nations. And these things are, we've discussed it before. It seems like a lot of people are pulling from the same sources.
Right.
But you have really, that's a shame that you say a lot of people kind of discounted it for the first few minutes, because the bulk of this movie is really putting the pieces together that I've never seen it done like that. It's really very well done as far as getting the information. It's almost information overload, but somebody had to do it, you know, and you really did the research, and the presentation is there too. So I think it's something that people can digest that wouldn't normally digest it, because the information is there.
Exactly. And I would invite people to really just, you know, watch the whole thing and don't believe what I'm saying. You know, don't believe a lecture. Don't believe a book. Do your own research. And if you watch the whole film and investigate what people like me and Chris and others are saying, you'll come to the realization that what we are saying is true. And I think people have to get away from this idea that, you know, you have to follow the leader and just listen to people like Maxwell and take their word for it. No, do your own research. And I believe that when people watch this film and do the research, they'll realize that what I'm saying here is the real deal, you know?
Yeah, man, you really went through what it looks to me like the extra mile as far as showing that when somebody like Maxwell says what he says, and then comparing it to what they said that they wanted to do, and then really matching it up with all the other things that are happening in what's being called, or what they've called for some time, the externalization of the hierarchy. I think the work that you did on that and bringing out and highlighting some of the things that people like Alice Bailey have said in that regard, but also Blavatsky, about the reason for the externalization of the hierarchy and the reason for the seed groups. And I thought it was extremely interesting about how, you know, the teaching people the esoteric version of history was so important for essentially for the purpose of bringing forth the world teacher. I mean, they don't make that many bones about it. So
exactly. It
seems to be the driving force, as Blavatsky has said at times before. But just kind of speak a little bit about the what you found in your research in regards to the externalization of the hierarchy and seed groups, et cetera.
Okay. What I found was that these people are very like these theosophists of the 18th and 19th and 20th century are very arrogant, and they're very confident. They're overconfident. So what they will do is release their plan, what they want to do in their works, and they will actually expose themselves in a sense. But they'll try to make what they're doing seem appealing. For example, Alice Bailey in her book Externalization of the Hierarchy, and this will tie into what Maxwell and Tessarion and Acharya and Joseph are doing. She says in her book on page 511 to 514 that there's no question that there's the work to be done in familiarizing the general public with the nature of the mysteries is of paramount importance. And that, and the reason is when the Great One comes with his disciples and initiates, they will have the restoration of the mysteries. In other words, since people are brainwashed to accept this esoteric philosophy, when they usher in the new age with the teacher and the disciples, then people will be all with it, you know, they will be basically on board with the whole agenda. And the thing is, when you even look at the phrase externalizing the mysteries or spreading esotericism, because that's what she says here, she says, this inherent fanaticism will fight against the appearance of the coming world religion and the spread of esotericism. So they want to spread esotericism, right? That's exactly what Maxwell is doing. When you take a step back, what are these people doing, people like Jordan Maxwell and all the others? They're spreading esotericism. Why? And something interesting I found is that, you remember that Lucius Trust interview, Inner Sight, with Dale McKechnie and that other host?
Yeah.
What's interesting is their admission that the Lucius Trust is on the Social and Economic Council of the UN. But what I really thought was strange was Dale McKechnie saying that the purpose of this supposed consciousness that everyone is talking about, you know, Joseph, Tessarion, Ike, Maxwell, Acharya, this collective consciousness, McKechnie said it is to open people up to what the New World Teacher or Maitreya is going to do and say. So the reason that this idea of expanding people's consciousness that Zeitgeist is pushing, McKechnie says that is to open people up to what to the plan of the Maitreya, right? Which is, of course, a one-world government under Maitreya, a New Age utopia, according to Benjamin Krem. So when you take a step back and just look at all these people and what they're doing and what they're spreading and why, that's the omega point right there, you know?
Well, sure. I mean, if you took a step back and looked at that and said, okay, well, if that's true, then the Bible was right. I mean, the Bible said that
exactly.
This Antichrist system was coming. So, of course, the natural enemy would have to be Christianity and the Bible. And that's the unification factor in every single person that does externalize the hierarchy, is that they're viciously anti-Christian. And it just makes sense. It's just logical.
Exactly. And these people, by their own admissions, they hate Christianity. I know. You know, I've been following what's been going on with you and Tessarion. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but what he's been saying under his false accounts about Christianity is staggering. You know his little account, 0101 or whatever?
Yeah.
I know that's him too, because he commented on my videos saying stuff like, Hail Satan, just, and that me and you were the bastard children of Hagi. You know, evil stuff like that, man. And Acharya S., in fact, she promotes basically the abolition of Christianity in her book, The Christ Conspiracy. Jordan Maxwell, in that lecture that's in the film, and in your work also, he says that Judaism and Christianity's time is over because it has brought too much destruction and harm to the human family.
Sure.
So these people are strictly against Christianity because, you know, the real teachings in there, they call out their belief system for what they really are.
And it really does all seem to be about preparation for this world teacher. And it's funny when that you talked about that Lucius Trust radio show, I was so interested in that, and that how nonchalantly they talked about how this economic crisis was a great shot for the new Messiah that was coming. And they were like, oh yeah. I mean, just like, oh yeah, that's going to be awesome when he shows up because of this. And you know, these are, and the interesting thing about that, I guess, also is that they made such a point to say, not the Christian Messiah, not Jesus.
Right,
No,
right.
no, no. But anyway, you know, the tie-ins to the Freemasonry I thought was interesting too, how you pointed out that through Ani Bessant, they founded so many lodges, etc., and it was directly based on Theosophy. So you have
right.
this tie-in to Freemasonry and Theosophy, other than the general concept that people like Blavatsky and Manly P. Hall were bestowed these titles because they had figured out something about the mystery and therefore kind of had these honorary degrees. But in fact, you see a lot of Freemasonic lodges based on Theosophy.
Exactly. Alice Bailey said in her book that the Freemasonic lodges will be used to induct people, basically, into the mysteries. That's what Freemasonry is. And then Bessant, the serious theosophical student of Blavatsky, who met her in Paris, went around forming all these lodges in all these countries under the name of the British Federation. And there's heavy documentation that I provided supporting this fact. And what's interesting, though, is her belief system. She wrote on the subject before doing all that. So what's in these Masonic lodges are things like, she wrote a book called Esoteric Christianity, and she says this, check this out. This story is primarily that the descent of the Logos into matter, and the sun god is aptly his symbol, since the sun is his body, and he is often described as he that dwelleth in the sun. In one aspect, the Christ of the mysteries is the Logos descending into matter, and the great sun myth is the popular teaching of this sublime truth. So these people are the ones who popularize this idea that Jesus is the sun, you see. So expect these Masonic lodges that are solely based on Theosophy to be teaching these things. This is why this belief is so rampant in our society, this sun god belief that Zeitgeist is pushing.
Right, and your expose of Peter Joseph I thought was well needed. One thing you also brought up was the issue, and I've seen this to some degree, but if you could speak to it a little bit, Blavatsky essentially saying that Satan and the Lucifer-Satan thing, the dichotomy there or whatever, but ultimately that he was an angel and that it was tied directly to the sun. I mean, they see Satan as a very good, very personal angel, as opposed to a lot of these ideas that it's just some kind of like esoteric version of knowledge, but rather it's a physical angelic being that they venerate.
Right. They believe in a whole host of angelic entities that basically descended from Venus, the planet Venus, in order to enlighten mankind from the animal man, is how they say it. And there's actually quite a few quotes where Blavatsky explicitly says that Lucifer and Satan are not only one, but that they are their actual God, and that Satan is higher and older than Jehovah. And what is interesting is that you have people claiming that Blavatsky is a great teacher. You know, people who are supposedly exposing the New World Order, people like Maxwell and Tessarion. Tessarion called her a brilliant historian or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what Blavatsky said. She said, "Now it stands proven that Satan or the red fiery dragon, the Lord of Phosphorus, and Lucifer or light bearer is in us. It is our mind."
Cut out there again.
Okay.
You said right on the quote. Just start on the quote again.
Okay. Yeah, she said that Lucifer is divine and terrestrial light, the Holy Ghost and Satan at one and the same time. So they do believe in an esoteric form of Lucifer as being knowledge and light, but they also believe that it is Satan, the angelic entity. So when people say that Lucifer and Satan are not the same thing, that is not what these theosophists believe. That is not what Freemasonry teaches, because Freemasonry and Theosophy combined at a certain point in time. That is why you see, for example, I showed the New Age magazine of the Scottish Rite, Fritz Springmeier, exposing the fact that this whole Freemasonic Scottish Rite New Age magazine is on board with the Theosophical.
Cut out again.
Okay, sorry.
The Freemasonic Society is on board
with the Theosophical Society. Holy cow, what's going on with this phone?
You know, that's a really good point, that they were on board. I thought that was extremely good information that you had dug up, because here's Springmeier talking about the externalization of the hierarchy, point blank, saying that the best way, that not everybody goes to a lodge, and so they didn't do it that way, and not everybody, you know, would go to a church, so they said the education system was the best place to do that. Now that's
Right.
an interesting thing to say, but then you carried it a great deal further in showing that that agenda was literally done and tied it to theosophy. It was brilliant, and it was very much needed. If you want to speak to that, I guess you were, but go ahead.
Okay, the man who basically devoted his whole life was a guy named Robert Mueller, who wrote a book called The World Core Curriculum. And he basically said, like, he has a bunch of schools that are the Robert Mueller schools, and I guess his curriculum is being implemented in the school system on the orders of the United Nations. And this is by his own admission. This isn't some conspiracy website saying this. This isn't me saying this. This is coming from his own words. And this is, I'll just quote him for you. He said, "A world core curriculum might seem utopian today, but by the end of the year 2000, it will be a down-to-earth daily reality in all the schools of the world. The underlying philosophy upon which the Robert Mueller School is based will be found in the teachings set forth in the books of Alice A. Bailey. The school is now certified as a United Nations Associated School, providing education for international cooperation and peace." So right there, the admission, by his own admission, he's saying that the education, the world core curriculum, will be based on theosophy. Alice A. Bailey was a serious proponent of theosophy. In fact, she is the one who's been promoting the New World Order, the one world government side of things, because as you know, Blavatsky wasn't, she liked to conceal the fact that there's an agenda, a political agenda in all this. She claimed that theosophy has no intentions of becoming political. But once Alice Bailey was a prominent figure, she discarded that and started openly admitting that the whole thing is political. That's why she's been calling for a one world government in her works. That's what externalization of the hierarchy is about, right?
Right. And I mean, if Blavatsky was true to her word that this was all about the preparation for the world teacher, it would inevitably have to be political in order to spread that
Exactly.
message and prepare that. So it's kind of a self-defeating statement in a way.
Right.
But real quick on the Robert Mueller or whatever that situation was, what did the World Council or that organization, what impact does that actually have on the education system again, like our present day?
The impact that it has, like, what do you mean, like?
Like, is that situation setting the standard in what way? I mean, is it textbooks or just general kind of ideas like that?
That information he doesn't release. He just basically says, ambiguously, that they're sneaking this into the classrooms. I don't know how they're doing it. I'd imagine that if you take a comparative religious class, because I've talked to people in college who talk about, I ask you, like, they'll support Zeitgeist, and I'll say, "Well, what sources are you using?" And they'll say, "Well, it's being taught at my school. You know, it's in the textbooks." So
Sure.
I'm sure in comparative religious studies and classes like that, they'll be saying, "Oh yeah, Horus, he was you know, he was born of a virgin. He had 12 disciples and all this, and Mithra." So that's probably.
Yeah, it definitely. I've seen that same thing happen. I mean, college in general seems to be, and of course, it wouldn't. The thing I think people need to recognize is that it's not that the professors are in any way in on it. It's just that the system. It's like anything else. If you can get the idea promoted to those that are the intellectuals and kind of pass it down via that thing, it can somebody can believe something based on pride, and I guess they just tend to move up in those universities depending on if their beliefs kind of match up. I'm sure that they have different ways of doing that. System
Right.
is really well you know well hidden in that regard. But so what did you feel as you were making this movie? I guess we could talk a little bit about Peter Joseph too, but what did you feel that was the most significant stuff that you uncovered? What really got to you as you were making it?
Well, I think the fact that people will quote directly from Blavatsky's book, externalizing this stuff and claiming that it's their own research. For example, Helena Blavatsky invented the claim that the 12 patriarchs were just the signs of the zodiac emblems, right?
Right.
And then you have all these new people who claim to be anti-New World Order researchers, Joseph Maxwell and Tessarion, Nicharia S., all making the exact same claim. The 12 patriarchs are the astrological signs. And again, I caught Acharya S. basically quoting verbatim from Blavatsky's book, Isis Unveiled, Volume 2, about, I think, about 15 instances where she quotes verbatim from Blavatsky. And so I thought that was very significant because it proves that they're not simply ignorant and they're not simply teaching people this stuff with good intentions. They know where it's coming from. They know the agenda, and they're willingly helping to externalize this philosophy. And they've obviously studied the material that we have, this Alice Bailey Bessant stuff about the one world government and the Maitreya and the plan. So
Right.
what confuses me is why they would still induct people into these views unless they're on board with it. There's no other reason, you know?
Well, you know a lot about Acharya S. So let's talk about that a little bit. She's always confused me in a way because she's been, on one hand, one of the more, she's kind of the place where a lot of the more intellectual people that want to really dislike Jesus from a, intellectual perspective, it's kind of the catch-all for them, which is kind of odd because if you really dig into her, it's really sloppy scholarship. But I don't know
Oh, yeah.
exactly how sloppy it is, really. I mean, sure, she doesn't source things and things like that. But the way I look at it is, like, if she spends all this time researching, she's had plenty of people over the years just outright, own her, showing that she
Oh,
just
yeah.
made things up and
Mike
just,
Lacona,
yeah,
even the atheist Robert Price, but go ahead.
Right. And, it's funny to see her rebuttals to something and then to see her post that, but then to look at the rebuttal to that rebuttal, it's always just
Yeah.
so
Well, they're wrong. That's the thing. She's just false, you know?
Right. And but the thing is, so she knows in some level that she is disseminating false information, like her new book, The Christ in Egypt thing. I don't know if it's even out or whatever, but all the research that she did in that, she found out at some point that it was not true. You can't do that much research writing a big thick book like that and then not find out. I mean, you have to go an extra mile to make it up and to not source things and to find ways to present things that aren't true as true.
Well,
So
one thing she does in that book, Christ in Egypt, is she quotes Plutarch as saying that Horus was born in the winter solstice. First of all, Plutarch is so far removed from the Egyptian religion that to quote him as an authority on the objective belief of the Egyptians is just ridiculous. Plutarch was he was like a first or second century historian. He wasn't an ancient, historian from 3000 BC or something like that.
Right.
So why would you quote him as an authority on ancient Egypt? It just doesn't make any sense.
Unless it's I mean, obviously, as Bill Cooper pointed out, I mean, all these people that are saying this have recourse to Plutarch. It's when it
Yeah.
started. It's that's the genesis of
Exactly.
this thing. So, of course, her base level has to be Plutarch, and the rest has to lie. She can
Exactly.
quote people and say, I'm sourcing my references from Plutarch on, but she can't do that. She has to lie from pre-Plutarch.
Well, I know she's been coaching a kid on YouTube named Dudekin, who's made a few videos against me, and I've responded to them. And I would invite people to watch his videos on me and then look at my responses, because what he's saying and what he's quoting from Acharya, for example, I made the true claim that no one in the ancient world, that basically the claim that Jesus was just the sun and never existed or was the age of Pisces is a completely modern claim. That wasn't a claim in the first, second, third, fourth century. It just wasn't around. And they know that's true. But what they did was they quoted a Tertullian passage, the church father, and a St. Augustine passage, totally out of context, totally just superimposing what they want to see into the text. Basically, Tertullian was saying that people were accusing his African sect of worshiping the sun because of their customs, because they would pray towards the east and because they would worship on Sunday, right? And so he argued that no, you know, we don't worship the sun, right? Based on those things. And so what they see in that quote, they superimpose, oh, look, they're saying that Tertullian sect worship the sun, so that means they're accusing Jesus of being the sun. However, what they fail to realize is that these critics could be ignorant of Christianity altogether and merely see these customs, right? And then come to the conclusion that they're a sun cult based on their customs alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no evidence at all that that they thought Jesus was the sun. That's just not in there. There's no claim saying Jesus never existed, but you worship the sun. No. The text explicitly says that the only reason they were accused, that one little sect, of being a sun cult in the second century was because they venerated in the East. That's it. But that's the kind of argumentation they use, and it's just so flawed and faulty.
Right, and I think that it has merit to some that are seeking it because they do things like that. They pull out quotes from that aren't normally brought out and things like that. It has this appearance of intellectualism. Is all it is just like facade of scholarship.
Right, but when they do that, you just have to read the passages they quote in context. Go buy the book or find it on the internet and actually read the whole thing and put it in context. And cite the scholars, like what I did in my article, is I cited some scholars on that, and none of them came to the conclusion that people were saying Christ never existed but was just the Son. No, all the scholars said was that people were ignorant of Christianity, thinking that Tertullian sect was a Son cult because of their customs. That's it. Not that Christ never existed or was the Son. That's just not in there, you know?
Sure. I mean, you have all the rest of it. I mean, when taken together with the obvious problem of Zeitgeist and the things that she's not only promoted, but essentially, was really involved. I mean, I don't know about how involved, but her work was based on a lot of that stuff, or Zeitgeist was based on a lot of her work, which is just so absolutely easily debunkable and depending on people not looking it up. So you have all this other these other flaws that that certainly point to some funny business there. Now, your YouTube account has been suspended. Is that right?
Yeah, the part 6 and 7 of my film, it's 9, 10-minute parts. Part 6 and 7 got deleted from everyone's YouTube account, whoever uploaded that video. And consequently, those parts 6 and 7 were the parts that expose Acharya S. So it's pretty strange that those are the only two parts that are being flagged and censored.
No, I am very interested in that because, I mean, I think what we were talking about earlier, like she has to at some level know that she is lying. I don't think there's – with her, because of the way that she quotes things and the way that she does things, I think that she has to know at some level. And I think that it's really interesting to see the kind of the quotes from Blavatsky and all that stuff because it's essentially having the exact same effect. But she's
right.
Tends to take the high road from the conspiracy theory thing. I think it's in essence just to be able to catch more people, those that wouldn't normally go to the conspiracy theory stuff. You know, she's kind of
exactly.
the net for those people.
Well, she's very deceptive. That's what I've noticed. And,
yeah.
You know, I would invite her, if she's really seeking the truth, not to, you know, get her minions to flag my videos and not to censor the opposition, but to engage in a dialogue, you know. I'd like to debate Acharya S. on this issue, on this issue of theosophy and its connection to these people. And I'd welcome that debate. You know, instead of just censoring your opponent, why not dialogue and have an exchange of ideas? You know, what's wrong with that?
Sure. Well, before we go any further, you want to give out some information about like your websites and the name of your recent Final Cut movie, and then
sure. Okay, my website is www.keithtruth.blogspot.com, and you can find a link to the full version, high quality that you can download. It's called the New Age Infiltration of the Truth Movement Final Cut, and I advise you all to download that video because it's getting censored and deleted a lot, so I don't want it to get lost.
Yeah, and I would recommend highly to my listeners to really go download that. I think that video is going to make the rounds well after we're probably gone because that's got all the information there. It's really grassroots, really base level research that a lot of people can build a lot from. So I definitely thank you for making that video and putting together that research and doing it in such a short time. You emailed me with some questions when you know, just if I had any information on some of the issues there. And I was thinking, man, that is a pretty ambitious task that you're embarking on. And then sure enough, you do it in no time at all and actually present it really, really well.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And it goes a lot further than what I've exposed on there, so I plan on continuing, and I hope we can continue to expose these people. I just wanted to name one more thing. This claim that Jesus is Horus and Osiris, the sun. If you read Essays by Blavatsky, her work, Essays by Blavatsky, this is what she says. She quotes some fringe scholar and then agrees with him. She says, "D. Malleville, a great Hebrew scholar and translator of the rabbinical literature, observes that the Jews give to the moon all those names which in the Latinese are used to glorify the Virgin. He finds in the Latinese of Jesus all the attributes of Osiris, the eternal sun, S-U-N, and of Horus, the annual sun, and he proves it," unquote. That's exactly what Acharya is pushing. These views Blavatsky's popularized, you know? And then you should see Besant and Bailey just really pick those views up and start distributing them to the populace. So there's no doubt these people are aware of what they're doing.
Right. I mean, it seems to all be based around that same issue. And it's also kind of like, I think, you know, as pointed out, the kind of introduction to a lot of these gods, in the sense that they're essentially creating a need for a world teacher at the same time. They're saying, well, you know, well, here's Krishna and here's Buddha, and they need to return too. Don't forget them. It's all the Christ consciousness. Don't get us wrong. I mean, it's not really Jesus, but and so they're essentially making, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy at the same time.
Right. Exactly. And what they're doing is this order out of chaos, because they artificially make the problems. They make the troubles. Then what they'll do is blame us, the Christians, who have no part of it, and offer a new age solution. They'll blame the current ideologies, Christianity, Judaism, you know, this modern governments, and then offer a new system. And watch out for that, because I don't know, Maxwell, an insider, said within the next, I think he said 40 to 50 years, and that lecture was probably in the 90s. He said that's going to happen, and he's privy to a lot of knowledge. In fact, I have a contact who I want to come public, but he doesn't know if he's ready yet. A guy who met Maxwell, and Maxwell had a Masonic ring on it, admitted that he was a Freemason. So that could be a possibility of coming to the surface.
Well, I do know that he said, and as you pointed out in the movie, the issue with him and Manly P. Hall, who in a lot of ways is, you know, one of the most prominent Freemasons in this regard, as far as talking about how these elite people are going to rule the world, and how, you know, he's very, very open about that. And he a lot of centers around his very very demonic kind of idea of the world. And to have him, what I thought was interesting, when you called Maxwell and you had that conversation with him, his response to your questions about Manly P. Hall were extremely lavishing on that guy, don't you agree?
Yeah, he called him a great master, a great teacher. I know you heard the original conversation. It's no longer with us, but I wish I would have. Well, anyway, yeah. Maxwell, he called him a great master, and he was like a teacher and a father to him. That's what he said. I heard the man say that. I called him on the phone. And it was really intimidating to talk to him. I don't know why. There's just something about that guy that he's just such a deceiver.
Right.
But
And so angry at Christians, too. I thought that
oh,
was
yeah.
notable in that call, that he had this animosity towards it. I assume, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Well, he called Christians the most ignorant people on the planet. And that does show his hatred towards just people who have a different belief than he does, who don't want to accept this new esoteric philosophy that's based on 18th century lies from some Satanist. Like, who wants to believe that when you have something more pure, when you have Jesus Christ, when you see the beauty of Christ, you're not going to want to go to this esoteric Satanism. What for? You know? Go to the
Right.
stuff that it was based on.
Right. And you know, it's crazy. I think that's something that's really not that told that much, is that I think that sometimes people have a hard time recognizing why Christians are doing what they're doing and why they do it for free and why, you know, it costs them to
Right.
produce the stuff that they do. And you know, sometimes I wish people would just kind of sit back and recognize that that's different, you know, than everything else. And I think that they're at that point, they try to come up with reasons why Christians do it, and their only ideas a lot of times have, because they don't understand what comes with Jesus. They don't understand this extreme operative power and force and joy and love that's there. That's a real physical, tangible, absolutely amazing thing that compels you to do, to love your neighbors to the point of trying to warn them about something that you now see, having the discernment of the spirit of the infinite God.
Exactly.
And I'm
They
not
don't
saying.
see it. They're blind. That's the thing.
Right, and so they say that Christians must do it because they are lashing out, because they don't understand and things like that. But really, I guess it's just important to know that it becomes so evident at some point, the contrast between this finite spirituality that is literally based on having to do with spirits rather than any kind of actual connection with the Creator God, who is love, who is joy, and it's so contrasting to that, having known that. That I think that that's the reason why we do it, is out of love rather than out of spite or anything else.
Yep, it's completely out of love, and you're right, it is a spiritual battle. And a lot of people might think that's a strange statement, but I'd recommend researching a doctor, Dr. Gary Habermas. He did a study on life after death experiences, and there's a case that's published in medical journals where a little girl passed away but was revived, and she told a story that was corroborated because I guess this angel appeared to her and took her back to her house. And she got to see what her family was doing, but like looking from the ceiling. And then when the little girl was revived and the family came, she told the doctors before the family came what the family was doing. And then when the family came, the doctor asked the family if they were doing these things. And they said yes. And this was all documented in secular medical journals. And this angel was supposedly carrying this little girl around to these places. And then you have dark forces, these ascended masters that the theosophists call them. And I would recommend a book by Randall N. Bear, who is heavily associated with this theosophical stuff, where he revealed that these ascended masters that Blavatsky and Bailey channel are nothing more than demons. And that was revealed to him. He became a Christian after that. And he was actually murdered, Randall N. Bear.
Very interesting. It really does make that passage in 2 Timothy make a lot of sense, that in the latter times people will believe the doctrines of demons, and that's exactly what we're doing. And the next verse, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, that couldn't be any more true of the people that are spiritually deceived in this regard. And I think that it's easy for us to point the finger at some group like Theosophy, but it's important also to recognize, for people that are doing this research, and as you pointed out, that it's not all one group like Theosophy or
Right.
Freemasonry or anything else, because there's actually a way that ties it in with even just esoteric, or let's say Satanism. If a kid got interested in whatever it was, just a cult, you know, Satanism or whatever, eventually that road too leads to the same doctrine being preached.
Exactly.
And so
These new
it,
age groups, all there's all kinds of new age groups, all kinds of seed groups, all kinds of paths, as you're saying, that lead to one source.
right.
Right.
And in essence, it can also be somebody that just grew up in a elite type family. You know, it's because we're, as you said, we're dealing with spirits, and they have a very vested interest in getting the building up this as the same thing that you mentioned about the seed groups, preparing the world for this world teacher, quote unquote. They are also commissioned to that same duty, which is to prepare the world for the world teacher. So in a very counterfeit way, in the demonic world, all things are done for him, you know, and
Right.
so
And
it that's what's kind of.
sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say on that thought, these people actually believe those ancient gods exist. They don't just believe that they're fairy tales. People like David Wilcock, another deceiver,
Sure.
he's going around teaching people how to channel Ra, the demon god of ancient Egypt. These people are so involved with this stuff, and they take it so seriously that it's not just fun and games. Like, these people actually channel entities, and I would advise you to avoid people like that who are channeling and teaching you how to channel, because again, these ascended masters are demons, and Randall N. Bear found out the hard way, you know.
Sure. And it really comes down to this, and this is what I'm sure you've dealt with too, is that certain people will fight you because they have had real supernatural experiences. They may have certain psychic ability or something to that effect. And we're not saying that you don't. We're not saying that you aren't in contact with whatever they are telling you, whether it be Pleiadians, Greys, light beings, ascended masters, you name it. They present themselves always whatever your paradigm is, whatever they can best present themselves to you to get you to do something for them and think that you're doing it out of your own free will. But what you have to recognize is they tell the same story with a different mask on to a lot of different people, and they always want the same thing, the same types of things. So if you are dealing with spirits, recognize that they don't have to tell the truth for whatever reason. According to the testimonies of several people that I've talked to that definitely deal with them and have essentially caught these spirits in lies. So that should be a big red flag to everybody, and recognize that there is an agenda, and that's what the important thing is to recognize what that agenda is. If, in fact, this is the New World Order is just being built around us for a spiritual purpose, for the preparation of a world teacher who has a spiritual agenda, then we have to sit up and take notice, because if that's true, then all our research about the New World Order and all these things have been going down the wrong road to a certain degree.
Right. And what these people plan on doing is inducting people step by step into this belief. And the final kick, as Manly Palmer Hall said in a lecture, is that they would be going back to worshiping the gods of Plato and Aristotle. And then when you see people like Wilcox and others channeling these entities, rest assured that that's what they're doing and that's their plan. They really believe in these spirits. They really believe in these forces. Again, it's not a game. And if you are contacting these things, just know that the Bible says Satan can appear as an angel of light. Jordan Maxwell, he said that he had an experience with some angel in his room. Well, Satan can appear as an angel of light, and that's what people have to remember. There's good forces in this universe, and there's bad forces.
Right.
There's good and evil.
And just for the, you know, it's interesting about Maxwell, one of Maxwell's experience, and it reminds me actually of experiences I've heard where people, like really high-level satanic priests and things like that, he told this story about how that one guy, the father of some girl that he knew or something, like he had this real weird supernatural experience with somebody showing up at the door and leading him to the situation where this guy knew about the things that he had said in his past,
right.
You know, when he was a kid, about how he wanted to do something for God or whatever. And this man, who really rings like a satanic priest to me from other testimonies I've heard of this kind of thing happening, he handed him a book from, what was it? I want to say Albert Churchward, but it wasn't him. It was somebody else that I can't. It eludes me right now. But the book was.
The story. It was some esoteric book, right?
Right, and it was so full of errors and obvious problems with that it just makes you think. Okay, well, maybe he was having an experience with angels of light, but why would they lead him to lies?
Exactly. So. It's leading to deception, and that's how these people get caught up in this. I have a family member who's been sucked into the New Age, and I haven't got a chance to try and witness to her and get her out of it. But it can happen easily. It can happen to Christians. It can happen to anyone. That's the nature of the game. It's deception. It's trying to make your ears tickle with lies, sweet lies, and they'll do it. They'll get you. But you have to be discerning, and you have to know what this agenda is and realize that there's basically irrefutable documentation proving that this agenda is definitely going on.
Right. Well, I think that you have done a really good job with this video, and I really want to try to get it out to as many people as possible, because I think it's going to, in the long run, be a very important work, and I know you've got more to do on it. And you're a young guy, Keith. How old are you?
Just 19.
19. It's crazy. It is crazy that you are on our team, but that's great. I'm glad that you've been put on this path. Okay, so what can we do solution oriented about not just this video, but specifically this video and in general? What kind of solutions do you think is the next step?
Well, I would ask people to download it again and just spread it, like upload it to websites, spread it in forums, try and get the message out. I would also like to see people who realize the things that I say, realize that they're true. I'd like to see them make their own productions, make their own videos, write articles, maybe write books if you're an author. Dig into this stuff because it's real. There's an agenda based on theosophy and the New Age, and a lot of supposed anti-New World Order researchers are most likely agents externalizing this and deceiving people. And I wouldn't claim these people are agents unless there was good reason to believe that they are. And I believe we have that information now. And an important thing people can do, because I've caught people like Acharya and others doing this, is try and trace what they're saying. Try and trace these quotes, because a lot of the times these people will quote directly, verbatim, from these early theosophists and Satanists as their own material. So that's probably what people can do, in my opinion.
Right. And like you pointed out with Peter Joseph, he made such a big deal about the what was it,
Materialism, yeah.
intellectual materialism, and that comes straight from Lucifer magazine. I mean, originally I probably was something, I don't know if it was originally in the magazine, but definitely quoted there as original
The
material. So
derogatory phrase used against people like us. We have intellectual materialism, you know.
cut out there a little
Check. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with that phone. But yeah, we have intellectual materialism. People like us, you know, we don't let go of our current ideologies, and that's all he was saying. If you listen to the run up to what he said there, he was basically putting people down in a smart manner who don't want to embrace this new utopia that he's promoting in Zeitgeist Addendum, this Venus Project, that we're holding on to our ancient beliefs. And we have to realize that these beliefs are going to be destroyed, and that we're going to have new beliefs soon, and new system and new ideologies. And the people who hold on to those beliefs, it's nothing more than intellectual materialism. And that phrase was used by, again, Helena Blavatsky, a
Well,
derogatory phrase invented by her.
what's fascinating about that, though, is that's almost as common as the hatred of Christians. If you look at that, what you quoted about Jordan Maxwell, that line that where he's at the Sons of God conference or whatever, where he's talking about how this new system is going to be essentially ruled by these other world beings, and he loves it, and it's going to be great. I mean, that everything's going to change. That's the core belief of Maxwell, you know, that there is going to be a new world order, but it's going to be ruled by somebody that we're going to like, some cool
Oh,
aliens.
yeah. Some
And
utopia, right?
right. And same thing ultimately with Tsarian, obviously a theosophist himself, that that's talking essentially about the 2012 and how the Age of Enlightening is coming, and that's going to be the paradigm change. We're all going to believe something, and those that don't are going to be kind of, you know, needing to be re-educated or just dealt with in some way. But the main thrust is that there is a new day coming, and man, they find a lot of different ways to say that same thing. So that concept is almost as important as you know, defaming Christianity, which is usually done in the same breath.
Well, the people like Barbara Marx Hubbard and Alice Bailey, when connecting to these ascended masters or channeling them, these beings tell these people that basically Christianity has to be abolished, and those who don't want to join the New Age are going to have to perish. And Acharya S. even said that on her book, in her book on page 416, 417 of The Christ Conspiracy. So they hate the Christians. Maxwell, he hates the Christians. Tsarion, you should see the way he talks against Christians. To these people, I don't know if they actually believe that Christians are part of the New World Order or something, or are the enemy. But like they'll say stuff like George Bush is a Christian and look what he's doing. That's just a surface level error. He's no Christian. He's a Skull and Bones Bohemian Grove member, you know.
Right.
That's not a Christian. So
Well,
these people.
that's always the thing that really drives me crazy. Like somebody like Jan Irving or Jan Irving from Gnostic Media, constantly says that same thing, that there's the very Acharyasa, that Christianity is the Catholic Church, and they can't really hear anything except for that, because it would destroy everything that they've built their t-shirt and business on.
Exactly. And, you know, people will associate Christianity, historic Christian teaching in the Bible, with the Catholic Church and what it's doing. But that's just irresponsible, and all one would have to do is just research a little bit and find out that it was Rome who was persecuting the Christians for the first 300 years, and they didn't want Christianity spreading. And what those people in the first 300 years believed is exactly what we believe today, that Jesus, Son of God, died for our sins, resurrected, you know?
Right. And Keith, though, you've done really great work in that regard, too. I know that you've done a lot of debates and things like that with Muslims and things like that. I know that's got to be challenging, and I know that we've dealt with a lot of the same kinds of heresies. I don't know if you'd call it that or not, but we've definitely we should get together and try to work on some more stuff at some point. But right now, I'm really excited about trying to get this video out. If anybody wants, I'll link it in the show notes of this video where you can download it, and I'll probably link. Is it on Google Video as well?
No, something with that. A couple of days after I uploaded it to Google, it got deleted, and then I got a message from Google saying their new policy is we're no longer allowed to upload videos to Google Video. So
what?
2 days after, that's pretty weird.
Really?
Yep.
Well, you know, I've had recently a lot of videos taken down from Google, and I just I haven't really spent the time yet to counter them, but that's weird. So you mean like nobody can upload videos to Google anymore?
That's the email I got. I don't know if that's true or what, but that's, I still have that email, and I'll probably post it on my blog. But yeah, pretty strange.
Yeah. Well, we've got to figure out something or other, because that's a really excellent movie, and we'll get it on some torrent sites as well.
Right.
So thanks for joining us, and it's Keith Truth at Blogspot. And one other thing, you've got your YouTube page. Obviously, you can get that at Keith Truth. There's a few different versions. You want to talk about that real quick?
Yep. I had to make two extra accounts because I'm suspended for 2 weeks from all my videos being flagged and deleted. So I have three accounts. Keith Truth, K-E-I-T-H Truth, and then Keith Truth, K-E-I-T-H-T-R-U-T-T-H, with two T's at the end, and then Keith Thompson 2009, and my film will be there too.